today's game. Jeff Loggeman will have player interviews and an exclusive conversation with head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars postgame is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame starts right now.
Final score in the final preseason game, Jaguars 13, Falcons 7. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Let's go to Atlanta. Jeff Loggeman standing by with head coach Doug Marrone. Jeff.
All right, thank you, J.P. Doug, last preseason game, and certainly an opportunity to look at a lot of different players in tonight's game. Your thoughts on how they did?
Well, I tell you, I thought, you know, defensively, there was a lot of solid performances out there. You know, they made some big plays at the end. I thought offensively we moved the ball well during the game, but obviously the big thing that you're upset about is, you know, the three turnovers in the scoring area. You know, I thought we could have just had a big lead going in, and, you know, we made it obviously a very difficult game where we have to defend a possession at the end of the game, and it should never really have gotten down to that. So, you know, even though it's the fourth preseason game and people look at it saying, you know, it's the fourth preseason game, we've got to learn from that and get better, and I hope the players that were not in at that time understand that.
Offensive line, you got a lot of guys at different positions to get some different looks, positional flexibility. It's going to have some tough decisions come this weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, for sure. I think, you know, tonight we had some multiple schemes in there. We played guys that, you know, maybe that we just didn't have a good feel for. You know, obviously Earl Watford was in there quite a bit. We kept him in there. We were moving Bowenko around. Chatley was at center. You know, again, looking at, you know, what we're doing at guard. So I think, you know, we're going to go ahead and go back and study it, you know, through the night, you know, and through the next couple of days and, you know, make the best decision for our ball club.
Brandon Allen had the three interceptions, not all due to his part. An extended look at him and your thoughts on his play tonight.
Well, again, I think, you know, I struggle a little bit when the ball's tipped, you know, and that goes for interception. I mean, we don't want those things happening, you know, but the other two, I'm surprised that he went to the fade. You know, and we had to, you know, I don't know. I got to look and see where the first stick was, you know, and then the second one, you know, I think the two are disappointing. I think that he made some good throws. He made some good reads. I thought, you know, again, it's the first time he's actually in there for a full game, so you can see what, you know, really what he understands, what he doesn't, what we have to do a better job of. So it's really the first time for him getting in there for a really long extended time taking the team. Thought he did a good job managing them, you know, throughout, and I just thought we got to do a better job in the red zone.
A lot of tough decisions coming up. Saturday by 4 p.m., you've got to be down to 53. You got a lot of work to do, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, maybe try to get a little sleep on a plane, wake up, go back down there, watch the film, you know, and then kind of just make notes, get everything ready. You know, first thing in the morning, get in there, have a lot of discussion, see what, you know, see where we are, and really just see, you know, what's going to give us the best possible chance to go out this season and win football games.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Head coach Doug Marrone after the game in Atlanta. We'll get to Jeff Loggeman in the locker room coming up. Hey, Brandon Allen's game, as you heard there, you know, three interceptions. You don't want those. They moved the ball, though. The offense looked okay at times.
They did move the ball, but, you know, coaches hate turnovers, right? And you could hear that disappointment in Doug Marrone's voice. They're evaluating this. I mean, this is Brandon Allen's game to play. So you could say it's the fourth preseason game. He went out there and he did move the ball, JP, and he made some terrific throws and showed good mobility once again. But as Doug Marrone clearly indicated, he felt like two of those were definitely on him. The third one, the tip ball, I'm not sure that one wasn't on him as well. If you know, you got to throw that ball over the defensive end instead of trying to throw it around him.
We'll come back and get to Jeff Loggeman inside the locker room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 13-7, the final, Jaguars over the Falcons. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have three locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like their coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
It's the.
I think really the main thing, obviously, early on, Harper was injured on the field and he was taken for an evaluation, to the hospital for a further evaluation. So it came back that, you know, basically he was diagnosed with a concussion, so he's in a concussion protocol. So, you know, I think obviously those are scary moments for all of us. So I think that, you know, obviously we're upset. We're disappointed. Obviously, it was a concussion, but obviously, it wasn't anything worse, you know, with those injuries. The only other injury was Jerron Johnson just suffered a groin injury. Other than that, came out of the game quite healthy. And, you know, now it's kind of, you know, now the work comes. I think there was a lot of good performances from a lot of the players on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, there's one point where we're going into the fourth quarter. They only had about 29 snaps. Fourth quarter, you know, give Atlanta credit. They made some plays. I think that, you know, we did a good job offensively everywhere except for the red zone. You know, we had three turnovers. I don't think, you know, to be a good football team, you can do that. I know some people may say it's a fourth preseason game, but, you know, that we don't want to be a team that makes those type of errors no matter, you know, what game it is, what preseason game, what practice it is, or whatever it may be. So hopefully we'll learn from that. Brandon, I thought, did a nice job outside of those plays. But again, we just got to go back and see what kind of forced them. The tip ball, obviously, those things, I don't, you know, just look at where the read was, where he was going with it. But, you know, the other ones, obviously, we have to do a better job of. The offensive line, you know, we have multiple people playing. Earl Watford was in there quite a bit, so we'll take a good look, you know, at him. We had Bolinko playing the guards. We had Pat and AJ playing. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we get a good evaluation of those players. I think that, you know, when you get into the fourth preseason game, people ask you questions, you know, so-and-so didn't play, so-and-so, you know, why did he not play, why did he play? I really think, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, you feel very comfortable about a lot of players. When I say you feel very comfortable in your evaluation. It's not, you know, dead set on players, you know, definitely making the team or not making the team. It's just a matter of making sure that we want to get the players out there that we don't maybe have as good of an evaluation on.
Coach, you have to be pleased with the job Dede did tonight.
Who's that?
Dede Westbrook?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every time he's been out there, he's made plays. Thought he showed his speed a little bit tonight. So I would say that, you know, he's someone that, when he's been available, has been productive for us.
How important was it to get Aaron Coleman some reps tonight?
It was good. You know, you always get nervous. Like, you know, he's really did a good job in practice and good job in the drills and really looked healthy and really, you know, was moving extremely well. You know, but you still just want to get those first, you know, couple plays out there. I was, you know, nervous for a while because we weren't in nickel and we're getting into, you know, close to half and we didn't have a lot of snaps. And, you know, we got him his snaps and, you know, at some one point it was going into this, the second half and I was just like, all right, we've had enough. He's been in tune and he's focused and he's ready to go.
Did you learn anything about the guards or did you have to go back and look at it?
You know, that was always tough, guys. And normally I can watch a game and tell you about situations and things like that. But I think, you know, this one's going to be close. I think it's going to be tough. I think, you know, I'd rather pull out my back pocket. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure I'm watching that film.
You played AJ for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. Played him and Pat in the same amount of snaps, Ryan. So we were looking to get 15 to 20 snaps out of them. And I think, you know, we were close. I think we were at 17. So instead of, you know, pulling them in the middle of a drive, we just said, okay, that's enough and let's go.
At the fullback position, Tommy Bohannon was in there for a while. You used Neil Sterling as a lead blocker. What did you see throughout training camp that kind of...
Well, we, you know, it's one thing that we have to do during the year, so we'll always look to see with that, you know, at that position. We had both Neil and Alex, you know, prepared to play that because we went into the game, obviously, with Tommy. You know, being able to play is the only, you know, person that was available for us at the time. So we just wanted to make sure we had a backup plan. They've done it before. Neil's done it before. And Alex has done it before. So both those guys have played that position before.
Compared to your previous preseasons, how comfortable are you with this team going into week one?
Well, I don't know if I ever really most of the time when I get asked that question, you know, how comfortable you are. I'm just wired maybe differently. I don't think I'm ever comfortable anywhere I've ever been. I just think it's just an edge to ourselves to keep pushing. So I think that, you know, we understand that we have work ahead of us. We have to do, right now the pressing work is obviously the roster, you know, to get, you know, get to where we feel we're going to have the 53 players we feel the best is going to, you know, help us win. But then when that comes, then obviously you press to, you know, to get ready for the first week. So, you know, I don't think the one thing about this league, in my opinion, I don't know if you ever really do, you know, feel comfortable from a standpoint of how I view comfortable. Comfortable to me is not a lot going on, sitting on my couch, you know, petting my dogs, you know, watching TV. I know it's a boring life, but that's comfortable for me. And probably eating. Yeah, I would say that makes me comfortable.
Keelan Cole didn't play today. What have you seen from him that you feel comfortable that you'd seen everything?
Yeah, I mean he's done everything we've asked him to do. I don't think there was much more that we could have put him in a situation tonight where we could have seen anything else. I mean, so we feel comfortable with our evaluation on him, and we'll go back and we'll look at the receivers. I think there's, I thought a couple of those guys made some plays tonight. Did some nice things, not only just on the field, but also on special teams. Pinkard made a nice play, running down there, making that play early on, and made a nice catch. I know that good catch. So, I think we're just going to look at that. And then, again, I think it goes for everything else. So, okay, now listen, we have this body of work, that really I look at from the from training camp on. There's a lot of notes on everyone, a lot of grades on everyone. I just think it's a time to – don't get too high, too low. Just make, decisions that best fit your team. So, like I said before, I really think that, he's gotten a lot of work, a lot of reps. A couple of other guys haven't gotten as much. So, you want to make sure you get an equal amount. Because sometimes the players with lower reps sometimes, in my opinion, for me personally, sometimes they'll show up a little bit. But then it's just a matter of time. If they play more, then you might not be as happy with them at the end of it. And you want, for any player on a team, you want to see consistency throughout.
How encouraged are you by Jason Myers last two games?
I feel good. I mean, he went out there today. I was looking for a situation to go ahead and get him out there. And, I mean, that was a hell of a field goal to kick. I mean, showed really good leg. Kickoffs, he's been doing a nice job. And then, hit the other field goal. I felt very comfortable. I go that way with it, meaning, hey, listen, we're at the 42. Let's go. I think for me, that's how I view that position, what they can do. Having the ability to feel comfortable and the team, I go back to that. I've said it many times. As a team, we have to have confidence in every person that we put out on that field.
It's going to be more than 1,100 players available Saturday. Once you set your 53, any idea how active you'll be at all on the waiver wire?
No, probably I can't answer that question. I mean, I can't answer it because I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
Okay. Do you feel like as a position group, without being specific, that you absolutely have to go outside and bring someone in?
No, I got the same question asked to me last night in a production meeting, and I think I've been very consistent on how I answered it. My job is whatever players are here, it's my job to coach them so they can win. So I really don't get into, hey, listen, we have to be doing this. Hey, coach or Dave, we got to do this, or we've got to grab this, or I'm not. I don't do that because, who knows what's going on out there? I don't watch other teams or anything like that. I have enough going on my plate, with our football team. So at the end of the day, my responsibility is for the 53 or the 89 that we've had, in camp right now to really take care of them. So, I apologize, but I really don't have information to answer that question.
I know Earl was back out there, but what goes into evaluating some of the guys that have been out for a really long time, like Rashad and TJ and Michael Rivera?
I think it's very difficult. It's something that, you get up in front of the team and you want to earn it, but I think you also got to be smart. I think you got to look at, background, what they've done in OTAs, what they've done in camp, and I think those come into play when you talk about those players. I think everything about a player comes into play, meaning that, it has to be talked about, it has to be evaluated, it has to be, looked at and weighed against, another player and whatever his situation is.
All right, thanks.
Great,
thanks,
appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
If you take out the turnovers themselves, I thought the rest of the game looked pretty good for Brandon Allen. If it's up to me, I'm keeping him around.
Number two, defense. Who stood out tonight in a group that didn't have any of the starters playing?
No, I'm going to give the tip of the hat on this one to Jonathan Woodard. Had a sack and a forced fumble in this game and showed up a couple times in run support as well. This is a guy, JP, everyone forgot about because he was drafted in the seventh round, injury, out for his entire rookie season. And then early this offseason, I had a couple of people tell me, keep an eye out for Woodard because the team really likes him. And they think this guy could play, and they think he's a diamond in the rough kind of guy. And all summer long, you didn't really hear much about him at all, didn't really see him flash. So tonight, you know, given the opportunity, it was nice to see him make a couple of plays.
And number three, Jason Myers tonight, two field goals, an extra point, three touchbacks on four kickoffs. Big night for him. How big for him?
This is locked up his spot night. I told you I wanted to see him get a chance to kick a long one. Came out with a 56-yarder and drilled that. So hit both of his field goals, like you said, hit the extra point, made all of his kicks for the second week in a row, and hit that one from long distance. Good on the kickoffs. We know he's good on the kickoffs, but he did it again tonight. So, yeah, I mean, at least for now, right, Jason Myers is on the opening day roster. There's no question about it. Kickers are fickle, Jamie.
Yes,
it
we know.
It could change in a week.
Don't we know?
Right, it could change in a week. But for now, Jason Myers, I think, can breathe easy heading into the weekend.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions this week for Mike Dempsey. Woodard's a guy that they liked enough to draft late last year. He had the, Achilles injury.
Yep.
Missed all of last season.
Achilles is a tough one to come back from, too.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're a big man. You know, all that weight and, you know, just every quick movement you try to make, it's just so much stress on that. But, you know, for him, I don't know. I haven't heard much buzz about him. He may have just put himself on film enough tonight to, you know, stick around as a practice squad guy, or maybe some other team will take a chance on him. I don't know if he's had enough time out there to really show them what he's capable of doing. They have a better feel for that than I do. My sense is he will not be on the 53, but you know, I don't have as strong a feeling about that as I do about some of these other ones.
Let's hear about some of the other ones a little later tonight.
Let's do that.
When we come back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into the highlights of this ballgame when we come back, though. Final score, 13-7. Jaguars win it over the Falcons in preseason week four. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career, too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career.
Get your game on with Konica Minolta. Let us reshape and revolutionize your workplace of the future with our innovative ideas and solutions. No matter what size your business is, we'll coach you to enhance your productivity and bottom line. Visit us at reshapework.com. Add Konica Minolta to your team for the most productive season ever.
Hey fans, be there live to support the Jaguars at Everbank Field this season. Always buy your Jaguars tickets from our official ticketing partner, Ticketmaster, and the NFL Ticket Exchange. Only Ticketmaster has verified tickets that are 100% guaranteed to get you in every time. Other sellers can only guarantee they'll give you a refund if they sell you a fraudulent ticket. So go with a trusted source and our official partner and know you're going to the game.
Hi, this is Erica Wilson, mother of Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Allen Hurns. My son is always prepared with a game day plan, and so am I. As a busy mom, I'm always looking for easy ways to save time. Publix helps me tackle everything from pregame prep to postgame cleanup with prices that are never out of bounds.
This week at Publix, Bounty 12 large roll paper towels and Charmin 24 double roll bath tissue are on sale for $12.99.
Available at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
When you're the victim of another person's negligence, the facts are everything. I'm talking about the fact that you're in pain, the fact that you can't work and the bills are piling up, the fact that your life is not on the same track it was before the injury. Here's a fact. Your future's in jeopardy. Call me, Eddie Farah, at 396-5555 or go to farahandfarah.com. I will fight to help you get your life back, and that's a fact. Farah and Farah. Protecting you and your family. Jacksonville.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars postgame continues. 13-7 the final. Jaguars over the Falcons. The Jags finished the preseason 2-2, even 500 record to get it going in 2017. You can join the NFL family in helping those affected by Hurricane Harvey by texting keyword Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Harvey Relief. Your donation enables the Red Cross to respond to and help people recover from this disaster. Donate today and help those in need. You can also visit redcross.org/NFL. Let's get to the highlights from tonight's game, and we start off with the Jaguars' offense. The defense did their thing early. A couple of three and outs forced on the Atlanta offense. In fact, four consecutive punting drives for Atlanta. The Jags moved the ball. They punted the first drive. They went 11 plays, 42 yards on the second drive, but it ended in the end zone the wrong way.
Allen drops, looks to the right, fires right corner of the end zone, wants Dede Westbrook. That ball is tipped and intercepted. It was tipped, underthrown just a bit, and picked off in the corner of the end zone.
Tried to get him in the corner, threw it short, intercepted. Atlanta couldn't do anything with it, though. Next drive for Jacksonville. He didn't underthrow Westbrook this time.
He drops the throw. Looking. Fires down the right sideline. Wants Dede Westbrook. That ball's caught by Westbrook. Westbrook into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. What a terrific throw and catch. Allen to Westbrook for the touchdown.
Wow.
43-yard score, 7-0. The Jags with the lead. Next Jaguars drive. 9 plays, 56 yards. Another interception.
Dropping the throw. Allen, look. Look, now he fires downfield. That ball, diving interception attempt. It is going to be picked off again. A diving interception that time on the near sideline. What a terrific play. I think it was the linebacker, Jermaine Grace, who picked that off.
It was Jermaine Grace. Second interception for Allen. Next drive finds Westbrook again. This time 43 yards to get him close.
Shotgun for Brandon Allen. He drops the throw. Fires downfield. That ball is caught inside the 30, the 25, the 20. That's Dede Westbrook again inside the 10-yard line. It was a crossing route. And what a burst by the rookie all the way down to the 6-yard line of Atlanta.
6-yard line. A couple of plays later, Allen picked for a third time, second time in the end zone.
Shotgun for Allen. Bunch to the right. Dropping the throw is Brandon. Looks to the left. That ball's tipped into the air. And that is going to be picked off again in the end zone. The third interception of the half.
Third of the half, as you heard Frank Frangie say. At halftime, it was 7-0 Jags. Well, the Jags defense kept it going in the second half. A couple of punting drives for Atlanta. On the other side, though, a couple of field goal drives for the Jags, including a 56-yarder from Myers.
This is 56 from the left hash. Norman puts it down. Myers kicks it up. Jason Myers' field goal attempt is good. Jason Myers has drilled one from 56 yards away.
Made it 10-0, and the next drive, a 36-yard field goal, made it 13-0. The Falcons got on the board, though, on offense. They fumbled near the goal line, recovered in the end zone.
They give it to Jarrell Presley. He is hit near the line of scrimmage, second effort.
I think that ball
is out. The ball is out, and it is fumbled into the end zone. Let's see who got on top of it. Now they say touchdown. It was fumbled into the end zone and recovered by the Falcons
on the
for
field
a touchdown.
Was a fumble with recovery by the offense for a touchdown.
Ruling was upheld. It made it 13-7. The Jaguars defense got a takeaway on the next Falcons drive. Tracy Howard with a pick.
Great drop. Torgerson looks. Scrambling now. Staying alive. Fires it toward the goal line. That ball is going to be tipped and intercepted in the end zone. What a terrific play by the Jaguars. The ball was tipped up into the air and then picked off by Tracy Howard.
Tracy Howard with the interception. The game ended 13-7. The final. Jaguars with the win over the Atlanta Falcons in preseason week 4. We'll return with an Everbank stats check. Plenty more to come after the preseason finale. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org. Wi-Fi.org.
Wi-Fi. It is awesome. And now it's time to make it even better. It's time your Wi-Fi worked in more places.
Honey, the Wi-Fi works by the barbecue.
It's time you knew your kids are online at midnight.
Why?
Go to bed, Steven. And it's time you had the power to pause your Wi-Fi.
Hey. Where'd the Wi-Fi go?
Away, because it's dinner time.
Introducing Xfinity XFi. Speed, coverage, control. Find your awesome with Xfinity XFi and change the way you Wi-Fi. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
At EverBank, defined by performance isn't just a tagline. They live it. So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an EverBank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399-805.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Linda Fortunato, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars postgame continues. Let's get to the EverBank stats check for tonight's game. We start off with the team stats dominated, and I mean dominated, by the Jaguars tonight. First downs, 25-9, Jacksonville over Atlanta. Third down, 6-14 for the Jags. Atlanta was 2-10. Total yardage, 415-261 in favor of the Jaguars. Offensive plays, 76-42. Jaguars led the way there. Rushing yardage, 155-49 in favor of Jacksonville. The passing yardage, 260-212 in favor of the Jags. Penalties, 4-35 yards for Jacksonville, 7-68 yards for the Falcons. The three turnovers, Brandon Allen's three interceptions. Atlanta had the one giveaway on the interception late. The time of possession, well in favor of the Jags. 40 minutes, 35 seconds, in fact, for the Jaguars tonight. Field goals and special teams and all that, pretty strong for the Jags tonight. 2-2 on field goals, a 56-yard field goal for Myers, and not much going in the return game for the Falcons tonight. So there you have it. Team stats, at least,
dominant.
The Jaguars rolled tonight.
And without the turnovers, they really probably rolled this game up. Brandon Allen responsible for those three interceptions, but he did complete 22 out of 31 for 265 and the one scoring toss as well, the long one to D.D. Westbrook on the ground. Allen chipped in six carries for 20 yards as well. It was Tim Cook leading the way, 15 carries for 58 yards for the Jags. Jonathan Grimes had 51, had 51 on 16 carries. So even though pretty good yards per carry in the first half, not so much in the second half and drag those averages down. D.D. Westbrook had an outstanding preseason. Now, again, clearly the best player on the field when he's out there at this late stage of the game. This guy has first-round talent, and we understand the off-the-field things are what dropped him to the fourth round. But six catches for 115 yards and the 43-yard touchdown and the oh-so-subtle shove-off of the defensive back.
Professional push-off.
Very pro move right there. Shane Wynn caught four out of five targets for 50 yards. J.P. Larry Pinkard had two grabs for 25 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The stat leaders for the Falcons, Matt Sims, completed 11 of 15 for 195, did not score or did not throw a touchdown. Kelvin Taylor should get a tip of the cap because our man Freddie usually doing the post game with us, as he'll be back with us on September 10th for that. But nine carries for 14 yards for Kelvin Taylor, and Marvin Hall had three catches for 82, including the long one of 65 when Stanley Jean-Baptiste tried to jump the route and was a half step late on that one. That's really what the offense was, that play tonight for the Atlanta Falcons.
D.D. Westbrook entered this game leading the NFL in receiving yardage in the preseason.
Don't think this one's going to hurt him.
I don't think so.
And he missed a week. Yeah. So you throw that. Jared Wilson, by the way, with four tackles to lead the way for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tracy Howard with four and a pick in the end zone as well. So some defensive stalwarts there for the Jags.
So, to finish up the thoughts on Westbrook here, where do you see him fitting into this offense? Where
this
do you line
year,
him up?
I don't know because, I mean, clearly you love Robinson and Lee, I think, if you're the Jaguar organization. And I think there's a lot of what D.D. Westbrook does that duplicates what Marquise Lee does. I've always wondered why Marquise Lee doesn't play the slot because he's so shifty and he could, you know, I got it that he's got the deep speed. I wonder if the long-term plan is to keep Marquise here, if ultimately you can't keep Westbrook off the field. I mean, to me, he's a guy that's going to be pushing for playing time. I don't think he's that relevant early. I don't even know if he's ahead of Keelan Cole at this point. And then who knows? The Allen Hurns decision will tell you a lot because I think if Allen Hurns isn't on this football team, they're expecting D.D. Westbrook to make an impact this year. And, boy, does he look like a steal where they got him. Now, granted, again, against deep backups in the fourth quarter, he's dominated, but he should. Not every player dominates to that degree when they get that opportunity against backups. He has, and I think Jaguar fans are very excited about what the future holds for that guy.
But to the Allen Hurns question, we've got plenty of show left tonight, but just to get it out there now, Allen Hurns was an undrafted player. We might have seen his ceiling of what he can be in the NFL.
Which is not bad at all.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
He's produced on the field at times. He's not going to jump as high as Allen Robinson. He's not going to run as fast as Marquise Lee, but he has produced in the National Football League. And it's hard to just go cut a guy that can produce for you.
Well,
right?
You're right, but
it's gotta be.
There are some considerations here because he doesn't have the great speed, and you've got some young guys with good speed behind him. Are you going to hold them back? That's one. Alton Hurns has had his own share of drops now last year. Okay. It wasn't a great year for him, and I think the biggest thing is his injury history. How do they feel about that behind closed doors? You know, are they worried? Do they think of him as a concussion risk? Because he's had at least a couple, and, you know, those things can pile up, become cumulative. I'd like to see Allen Hurns be a part of the team because he's a pro. He's a great locker room guy. He busts his tail. He works hard. And I think he's got ability. I think he's got skill. Look, let's say Marquise Lee gets hurt. Oh, that's never happened before, right? So do you want to be going out there? Let's say you go into week two against Tennessee. Do you want Keelan Cole as your number two and D.D. Westbrook as your number three? Maybe you do, but I would rather have the experience of Allen Hurns, I would believe, lining up across from A-Rob because he's done it plenty of times.
All right, that's the big question moving ahead here. Well, we've got another half hour to go through this. How about
Let's do it.
Well, let's come back, though, and get to our player of the game voting. Linda Fortunato is going to chime in tonight.
I love that.
Whether she knows,
vote and a half.
Whether she knows it or not.
Nice.
She's about to.
She's scanning the stat sheet right now.
Jaguars win it 13-7 over the Falcons, and this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Football season is here, and Stein Mart is ready with hundreds of ways to keep you looking stylish in the stands and beyond. From women's and men's fashion to home decor and accessories, Stein Mart is the place to find the brands you know at prices you'll love. We're honored to be a hometown company with 6 convenient locations in Jacksonville and proud to support our Jaguars. We'll see you at the game. Until then, visit us in-store or online at steinmart.com.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like the coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
The kick is up. It's good!
It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse. You can score a medium Firehouse sub when you donate $5 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more on the Wednesday following the game, get a medium sub with a $5 donation to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs.
GEICO brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to GEICO. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Jaguars postgame rolls along. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Jags win at 13-7 over the Atlanta Falcons. It is time now for the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game honors. And here's how the voting works. I get one vote. Mike Dempsey gets one vote. And Fred Taylor's not with us tonight. He will be back with us next week for the Houston game. So Linda Fortunato, our producer, gets the vote and a half weighted because if there's a tie, that would be a tiebreaker, you know. And
absolutely.
And that would be it. So
I'll give her 2.5 votes if she wants tonight.
She can have as many votes as she wants.
I don't think it's going to matter.
Stuff the ballot box tonight.
Please do.
I'm going to go first, and this is a pretty – this might be the easiest one of the preseason. Dede Westbrook targeted 9 times. He caught 6 of them, 115 yards receiving and a touchdown of 43 yards. What a night for Dede Westbrook. A couple of 43-yard receptions tonight, in fact. And he, I would guess, is going to finish the preseason as the league leader in receiving yardage. My vote, at least, go wherever you want. My vote is Dede Westbrook.
JP, climb back way in off that limb, buddy. You're just really sticking your neck out right now. 9 targets, 6 grabs, and again, the smooth polish. My favorite part of his game tonight was just that little shoulder shrug that he gave to the defensive back to get himself a yard of separation when that's exactly what he needed. Kind of slowed himself, let the DB come into him so he didn't have to extend the arm out. Very crafty guy. Obviously, he's the Biletnikoff Award winner. He's the best receiver in college football last year. He's a Heisman finalist. We shouldn't be surprised that he dominates in the fourth quarter of preseason games, but yet he dominated, all right? So what can you do? Look at the stat sheet, but give it to Dede Westbrook, 6 for 115 and the 43-yard touchdown. So Linda Fortunato can trump us all with 2.5 votes
tonight.
That's
true, yeah.
You know, so let's turn our attention to Mike number one.
What do you see, Lynn?
I wouldn't dare trump you guys. I agree, Dede Westbrook.
Okay,
well,
it's unanimous.
Well thought out, reasoned analysis as well on top of that.
Yes. Yeah, well done,
Linda. Linda's furious at us right
now. Way to make it unanimous.
For making her speak on the mic tonight.
Unanimous decision.
Yeah, look.
Dede Westbrook, easy slam dunk.
Did he win it against New England as well?
No, it was Keelan.
Was it Cole?
It might have been Keelan Cole.
Yeah, it might have been. Keelan Cole, that's right.
Yeah, because the president of the college called us after the game.
That's a good point. It was Keelan Cole. Right. Yes, it was.
Could have. No, he had a good game there.
Dede had a good game. Yeah. I think we even said it at the time. Guess what? Dede Westbrook will probably win a few of these throughout his career. Let's give it to the young fella, Keelan Cole, and they might both win a few of these over the course. Let's hope.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
That would be very, very, very good for the Jaguars. So there you have it. The Jaguars Radio Network player of the game tonight. A unanimous decision, Dede Westbrook, the rookie from Oklahoma, the Biletnikoff winner a year ago and Heisman finalist, now a rookie in the National Football League. We'll come back with a Baptist Health injury report. Final score 13-7, Jaguars over the Falcons. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Hey fans, be there live to support the Jaguars at Everbank Field this season. Always buy your Jaguars tickets from our official ticketing partner, Ticketmaster, and the NFL Ticket Exchange. Only Ticketmaster has verified tickets that are 100% guaranteed to get you in every time. Other sellers can only guarantee they'll give you a refund if they sell you a fraudulent ticket. So go with a trusted source and our official partner and know you're going to the game.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of 5 boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars fans, touch down with the team when you fly from Jacksonville International Airport. Non-stop flights to cities on the Jaguars away schedule are Houston, Nashville, Baltimore, New York,
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Indianapolis. Watch the Jaguars take on San Diego, Seattle, and San Francisco with just one convenient connection. So huddle with the family, break, and book your flights today.
Technology today is always changing, but one thing has remained consistent for the past decade in Jacksonville. CSI Tech is your partner for finding the top IT talent in Northeast Florida. Across the full spectrum of IT positions, CSI Tech can find the right fit for you. And with their award-winning people, done right philosophy, you can feel confident in the results. Call CSI Tech at 800-582-0828 or go to peopledoneright.com and partner with CSI Tech, part of the CSI Companies and proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hi, this is Erica Wilson, mother of Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Allen Hurns. My son is always prepared with a game day plan, and so am I. As a busy mom, I'm always looking for easy ways to save time. Publix helps me tackle everything from pregame prep to postgame cleanup with prices that never out of bounds.
This week at Publix, assorted varieties of Tide 75 to 150 ounce laundry detergent are on sale for $5 off.
Available at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
At EverBank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
Jaguars postgame continues, 13-7, the final. Jags over the Falcons in preseason week four. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Let's get to the injury report presented by Baptist Health. Changing health care for good. Harper, special teams play, was carted off on a stretcher, evaluated for a concussion. Didn't hear much more after
that.
No,
but he did give the thumbs up, which was nice, you know. So you hope as the 4077th lands and takes him where he needs to go, he gets good care and he's going to be fine.
Yes.
Yes. I did not play this.
No.
Nice touch.
Thanks, Linda. Jerron Johnson, the groin issue they were looking at. No, that's enough of MASH. We don't need the MASH. Thank you. Yes, we get it. It is. Those are the two key ones, I guess, from the game. Wilson at one point was holding his arm but came back into the ball
right
game on, safety.
Right away at practice.
So that's
right.
Good news.
Yeah.
Those are the main ones from the game that at least stood out tonight. But there were plenty of guys that did not play tonight. A lot of those were just for rest and to get ready for next week. But a few of those were nicked up. Rashad Green is one of those guys, you know, who's been banged up in his career, a guy who – hasn't shown a lot consistently on the offensive side of the football when he's actually been on the field. He's had some moments in special teams and punt returns and all of that. But for him to sit down in the final preseason game, obviously nicked up a little bit, what does that say about his future here?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. You talk about availability, right? That's what Doug Marrone talks about all the time. It's tough to get inside his head and know. Because to me, JP, I thought the tone was set early in the offseason with Brian Walters. We've talked about this. Got a 2-year contract extension. Got hurt. Got a 2-month prognosis. And he was out the door. And I almost felt like they were trying to set a tone for, you know, you're not allowed to get hurt. Or we're not going to be very pleased if you are.
Stay out of the training room.
Right? It's tough to know how they feel about any one individual guy in that department. But, you know. I want to take a longer look at Earl Watford, right? I mean, injuries kept him off the field, and we saw tonight, from what I saw, he looked like a guy who could knock some people around a little bit. So I think you have to balance this out if you're Doug Marrone and the staff. You know, what is the guy's top-end ability? And certainly if he's not available to play, he's not going to realize that top-end ability, but it's difficult to give away guys with ability, right? It's difficult to yes. cut them loose because we've seen guys have injury problems in different locales, not work out, coaching staffs get tired of them, they get picked up somewhere else, and they get with a new trainer or they're they just get a little bit luckier in that department, and they go on and flourish in other places. So I think it's tough to know what's going on inside Doug Marone's head.
A few other guys. Marquez Williams has been nicked up a bit in this preseason.
Well, Hannon had a killer block tonight, too.
Yeah, and he's been around the league a little bit. And Williams was a late-round draft pick. He's a rookie this year and didn't play in the last preseason game. You're not going to keep two fullbacks.
No, but you might slide him out to the practice squad.
Maybe. Possible.
You know,
we'll see. Another Michael Rivera has not played at all this preseason.
That's a really interesting one.
And
right?
It's a position group where you have Mercedes Lewis and a bunch of other guys who have small moments in the league. I mean, Koyak had a couple of plays late last season. He's been okay this preseason. Alex Ellis is around. But there's nobody really proven behind Mercedes Lewis.
No, there's not. And, so this is a good test case here, right? You've got Michael Rivera. If it's coming down to availability, he shouldn't be on the roster. Right? You practically haven't seen him at all this offseason. But they brought him in for a reason, and I think most people projected him to be the leading receiver at the position based on what they have on the roster right now. Obviously, they liked him enough to bring him here. It's a question of how much they liked him on the film that they saw before he got here, because he really hasn't done anything for this football team. I'm not going to be surprised either way with Michael Rivera. I could easily see him being part of this team because it's not a particularly awe-inspiring group that they have at the position. But at the same time, if you're sticking with the admonition that the best ability is availability, then how can he make the 53-man roster? My gut says he will be on the team because
– got to have somebody.
Right,
there,
that's the guy I think that they pointed to as being the guy that they're going to play more often than not. But I don't think it should be a surprise if it goes either way. Again, my vote would be yes, I do think he makes the 53.
The other on offense that has been banged up in the preseason, Marquise Lee. Went down with the injury a couple weeks ago. He's going to make the team, yes. But the question is, will he be ready for opening day?
The fact that he's back at practice already, I think, is a huge plus.
He's very confident that he'll be ready for opening day. Look, doesn't mean the trainer agrees.
Nobody thought when he went down on that Sunday afternoon practice that he would be available, period, for the rest of the year. And then if you were to say, okay, it's not going to be season ending, well, we'll see you in October kind of thing. Well, here's Marquise Lee. Worked hard behind the scenes. Fortunately, it looks like he kind of escaped what could have been a lot worse. And he had a great offseason up until the point he was hurt. The fact that he's already back on the practice field indicates to me that, why are you running him out there if you think it's going to risk setting him back running around on it? He's got another 10 days before the start of the season. I see no reason to believe Marquise Lee won't be in the starting lineup opposite Allen Robinson. Now, will he play the normal amount of snaps that he would otherwise? Maybe not. Maybe they slow play that a little bit in the early part of the year. But I think you're most dangerous as football team with the idea of Leonard Fournette behind Blake Bortles with Robinson and Lee and perhaps a third wide receiver on the field right now, depending on what kind of formation they want to go with, whether they go with a tight end or a fullback. If you're an I, if you got the fullback, you're probably going to have two wide receivers and a tight end out there. But I want to see a little Keelan Cole or Allen Hurns or DeeDee Westbrook, any of those combinations with the top two guys. I think that's the Jaguars' most potent offensive combination, the three wide receiver set in the single back. And I know they want to play with a fullback. I don't think they want to play with a fullback 80 or 90% of the time. I think you're talking maybe a quarter of the time you're playing with a fullback. Short yardage, things like that. I think they're going to play out of a lot of shotgun because that's where Blake Bortles seems to be more comfortable. I think Leonard Fournette will adjust to whether it's running out of the shotgun or running downhill out of the eye.
He's just going to run where he runs.
He's going to run, right. And it's going to – a lot of the early season success or lack thereof is going to be on his shoulders because I think teams are going to come out in that first week and the second week and until they prove otherwise and say, Leonard Fournette, you're going to have to beat us with an 8 or 9 man box, or Blake Bortles is going to have to beat that box before we ever think about loosening up our coverage. And they'll try to stop the run on first and second down and get you in that 3rd and 7 or longer and pin their ears back.
Defensively, cornerbacks are really the prime area to watch in the injury front. Jalen Ramsey played last week, didn't play tonight. He should be good to go for the opener. A.J. Boye has not played a lot in the preseason, but they're confident that he'll be ready to go. He is as well. And tonight, Aaron Colvin got some playing time in this game. We'll see in the postgame locker room and in the coming days how he came out of the ball game tonight. But just talking to him in the locker room this week, he seemed very confident he'll be ready for opening day. So your starting corners, apparently, at least right now, got through the preseason, and they're going to get back on the field opening day.
It's not ideal the way it went down, but we'd rather have them ready for September 10th than the last month.
Yes.
So I'm not worried about Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is going to be a stud. And, you know, look, guys can get hurt, but as of right now, I think Jalen Ramsey's fine. Going forward, there's no reason to think he's not going to be 100% for opening day. And if he is, you take what comes after that. I think, you know, if you have Ramsey, Boye, and Colvin healthy, not many teams have a great dime backer, right? How many teams go four deep with quality cornerback play? So what they've had, JP, is they've had a lot of young guys get a lot of valuable reps and experience here in the preseason, reps that they wouldn't have gotten to that volume otherwise. So that's good, and they've gone up against ones, right? So, you know, you a little test by fire for some of those cornerbacks.
And the other question was that, with that, though, is did they perform well enough to stay on the team? Or
I think
is a waiver claim
Dixon
coming
obviously
in?
Did, right? Yeah. I mean, because they didn't play him tonight, is my guess. Anyway, yeah, I say obviously, but that's my guess.
Kind of like Patman, do they like him enough?
Well, he made a ton of plays early in camp, you know? It's hard to say. That he kind of reminds me of Josh Johnson last year a little bit, making plays, just would pop up. Didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't necessarily down in, down out, the best cornerback out there, but it had a knack for finding the football. And look, cornerbacks are in great demand in the National Football League. Doesn't mean somebody else's trash can't be your treasure, but I think it's difficult to find quality cornerbacks and offensive linemen in that wave of 37 guys that are, you know, when you cut down to 53, there'll probably be a few out there, but they'll probably be highly sought after by a number of teams. So if you're a corner and you've got options, you look at the Jags and their depth chart, what's your chances for significant playing time here? I think it's difficult, you know. So we'll see. I'm sure they're going to be doing their due diligence and watching every player dump that goes down out there. But I definitely think those are two positions they'll be honing in on, hoping to find help.
Let's come back and preview week one.
All right.
Here it comes. The regular season is next on the docket for the Jaguars. Final score tonight, though, 13-7, Jaguars over the Falcons. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Wi-Fi. It is awesome. And now it's time to make it even better. It's time your Wi-Fi worked in more places.
Honey, the Wi-Fi works by the barbecue.
It's time you knew your kids are online at midnight.
Why?
Go to bed, Steven. And it's time you had the power to pause your Wi-Fi.
Hey. Where'd the Wi-Fi go?
Away, because it's dinner time.
Introducing Xfinity XFi. Speed, coverage, control. Find your awesome with Xfinity XFi and change the way you Wi-Fi. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hi folks, Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town, that's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Hey, Jags fans, this season it could be you that takes the field. Be there when the Jags hit Everbank Field on game day through the Everbank Take the Field sweepstakes. For each home game, one lucky fan will win 2 club tickets and pregame sideline access to be on the field as the Jags are introduced. To enter and for official rules, visit everbank.com/take the field today. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of 50 United States and D.C., 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends 12/5/17. For official rules and complete details, visit everbank.com/take the field. Sponsor Everbank, a division of TIAA FSB.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're listening on our flagship station, 1010 XL in Jacksonville, the scoreboard show is next. You can also watch it on jaguars.com. And the Jags app, 355-NFL1, the number. We'll take your calls coming up. Next week, the regular season is here, week one.
Hallelujah.
Thank goodness, right? Because the Jaguars face the Houston Texans. As of right now, the game is still scheduled to be played at NRG Stadium in Houston. though there's a lot going on other than football in Houston right now, obviously, after the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. The team, the Texans, are back in Houston. They came back. Their game tonight was canceled with the Dallas Cowboys, originally scheduled in Houston, then moved to Dallas, where the team was hanging out and practicing all week. The league finally canceled the game when they found a route via bus from Dallas to Houston to get them back to the stadium. So with all that going on, with people in shelters at the NRG Stadium property site, it was the center and all the stuff that next door to it, who knows what's going to happen? There's been no announcement by the league yet of any changes. So as of right now, it's status quo for next week.
Yeah, I just want to note, you pointed out to me earlier that the Cowboys did an open practice that they live streamed and did a telethon.
Pretty cool.
To raise money. They raised $2 million, $1 million of it coming from the owner. Wow. He threw in $1 million and they raised another $1 million on top of that. So good for those oil people out there, whoever's giving that money, because it's a drop in the bucket, honestly, compared to what's needed. But JP, you're right. The focus right now, I think, come Monday, Tuesday at the latest, we're going to know where this game is played. I would think by Monday, when we start the new week, you got to know where it's played. Because the logistics of changing it on either end, you got to set up hotels, you got to set up travel, you got to do all these different things. Houston's still pushing to have it held there. It'll be known by the beginning of the week, and then that'll cease being the big part of the storyline. It'll be more of a storyline if it does get switched, because that kind of upsets everything. And then, you know, Houston opens up with three consecutive road games. Jags close with three consecutive road games. It's a situation they're in right now. You know, as Shad Khan said yesterday, the concern is for the people in that city and the city itself of Houston, Texas. But you get down to just a football standpoint, you know, and we can get past this and really focus for those 3 hours on the field. Granted, I'm sure there are a lot of Jaguar fans that are, you know, just wondering, are we in for another season like we've had the last several years in a row? And you might be. But to me, I'm one of these guys, it's all out in front of you, man. You go out there. Would it really shock the world if Tom Savage couldn't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars defense on opening day? Tom Savage, who's never thrown a touchdown pass in the regular season.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's been primarily a backup, but he's played a little bit. And would that be that shocking? Would it be that shocking if the Jaguars, when they have their full complement of defensive talent, give Lamar Miller a hard time and Houston has trouble moving the ball? Then if you can play mostly mistake-free football, you know, look, I don't think it's an impossible task. The Texans are going to be favored in that game. There's no question about it. But there's an opportunity for the Jags. This is not an unbeatable Houston Texan team by any stretch of the imagination.
We've seen games in this series that are slugfest like that, that are 13-10, 17-10 finals. And, you know, you kick a field goal here or there and you make a bunch of stops on defense, and whoever kind of has the ball last wins the ball game. That's not too far-fetched at all, especially for this game. The one thing I'm thinking about is if they do end up switching this game, which, again, we don't have any idea of that, but it is a possibility, then is it better for the Jaguars from a pure football perspective in a season where they need to start fast to have those three straight home games to start the season and not worry about the back end of the season yet? Because if you don't win the games early, the back end doesn't matter.
It's a great point. I just think it's an opportunity to steal one on the road. If you can get that one on the road, I really think that they can throw punches with this team. I'm not saying I'm guaranteeing any kind of victory or anything like that, but keep in mind, Dwayne Brown, their best offensive lineman, is in a contract dispute. He doesn't look like he's going to be playing. That's your left tackle right there. Imagine if you had a left tackle of that caliber and he wasn't going to be there. It'd be a huge talking point for you. We talked about Savage. Will Fuller's out for the first half of the year. His replacement, Jalen Strong, he's suspended. You're really digging deep on the depth chart. Mr. $81 million DeAndre Hopkins, let's see what he does against Jalen Ramsey the second year around. I mean, Jalen got under his skin, I thought, pretty good last year. Jalen's going to be that much better this time around.
And you got A.J. Boye going back there,
exactly,
too, on the other side.
Move him
Can't
around,
get away from
and,
him.
And good luck to you. So, I mean, you know, you look at Houston from that standpoint, it's not like they're a high-powered team, and that's probably what the Jags need early in the season to have a chance to get off to a good start.
This is maybe a stretch a bit, but the Astros are going back to Houston to play some home games this week. That'll be the first professional sports team to play something in the city since the storm passed. But it's a Texan city, man. I mean, when the Houston Texans are good, people get behind that team, and you know if that game's at NRG Stadium next Sunday, they've got a week to prepare and get ready and get the city cleaned up a bit and people kind of back in order. that place is going to, it's always rocking anyway.
Right.
It's going to be like the Superdome after Katrina.
You know what? It depends. How do you handle emotions, right? Sometimes emotions can drain you. Yeah. You know, you get too high and then you hit the second half and you're flat because you've used up all your emotional energy. Look, I feel for those people. I'm sure they'll be passionate. Wherever that game is played, it'll be a rallying cry. It's great for the Astros. It doesn't matter if the Houston's a Texan city. Texas is a football state. America is a football country. It is so much bigger for the Texans to open the season than for the Astros to play an August game or an early September series.
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah, it will be a fever pitch if they play out there. But, again, you get into the logistics. How many season ticket holders are displaced? How many can go? What are they going to do to fill the stadium? Will they, you know, come up with another alternative? Who knows? I mean, we're just speculating on things that aren't really all that important in the big scheme of things, but they will be important for those 3 hours because you still play 16 games. You still want to win those games. Nobody, you know, wishes any of this that's happened to the city of Houston. But I do wish that their football team loses the opener. I mean, I don't think that makes me a bad person. I hope every Jaguar fan feels the same way. I'll donate money to them, and I have, and we will all pitch in to help our fellow Americans. And, you know, for those 3 hours, it's back to you're the bad guy and we're the good guy. And, you know, let the best team win.
1 o'clock kickoff. We're on the air at 10 o'clock with the Publix Tailgate Show in Jacksonville on our flagship station. And then a high noon start for Countdown to Kickoff next week. Wherever the game is, we'll be right here on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and the Jaguars Radio Network. Coming up, the Scoreboard Show, your calls on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 355-NFL-1, the number. VP of Communications is Dan Edwards, manager.